Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, motorcycle, boat, whatever it may be, RV, they'll take care of it all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Texas comes back to beat Kansas State on the road.
Here's Rice, who has a double-double today. His first has a horn. Spin! Bishop got it! What a second half for Christian Bishop. Texas by three, 5.5 seconds left. Into Noel. Massoud gets off a three for the tie. It's well off. And Texas wins it on the road in Manhattan, 69-66. And they'll stay alone in first place in the Big 12.
Yeah, they not only won, but also Iowa State took out Kansas, did so with relative ease on Saturday. By the way, the Chiefs, Mecole Hardman is out of the Super Bowl. They put him on IR. They have activated Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the game. So there you go. That's the big move that they've had to make. Joining us now is one of the best ever, Ernie Accorsi. Ernie, welcome back to the show. It's great to hear you again.
Steve, it's my pleasure. I always enjoyed being on with you.
There's different ways to construct the team. And when you look at Kansas City and Philadelphia, wide receivers were part of how the teams were constructed. Kansas City dealt away Tyreek Hill, and Philadelphia acquired A.J. Brown. When you look at the construction of the two teams from that GM seat, how masterful were each of these guys to help get their teams there?
Well, I look at it that way as much as anything. I'll start with Philadelphia. Howie Roseman has just done a remarkable job. I mean, you know, it's very rare to see a general manager build two different teams 4 or 5 years apart and take them both to the Super Bowl. And he reconstructed this almost entire team. And I loved his move up to get the receiver from Alabama in the draft. He's made moves to make the team stronger by picking up Brown. He's got three running backs, and they're all interchangeable. He had faith in the quarterback. I mean, they've drafted well, and they've traded and signed real well. From the Chiefs' standpoint, they've just drafted. You know, they're kind of like Pittsburgh in that they've lost players, and they draft and fill the holes. I mean, yep. They're middle of the drafts. It's 2, 3, 5, or 6 have been remarkably successful. When I sit here and watch games on Sunday, I have an NFL manual with me, and it has rosters with numbers. And I don't know the players like I used to, but I see players making plays. And this happened with Kevin Colbert in Pittsburgh, too, and it's happening with Kansas City all the time. And I don't know who they are, and I'll look it up. It's always fourth-round pick, fifth-round pick, yep, third-round pick. And, I mean, they have just drafted so well, and that Andy Reid's had enough of time to do that. And I'm sure he's got tremendous support from his scouts and the general manager, who I don't know. But they're just two models. I mean, if football was business, I would tell young people, study those two clubs, like going to the Harvard Business School. I mean, and like you said, there are different ways to do it. They're slightly different in the way they did it. But they both have two what I thought are the most important ingredients in building a team. Number one, the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And number two, the pass rush. When you have that, now you can compete. Now you have to fill in. But I saw something the other day. The Eagles have 68 sacks. 70% of them were without blitzing.
Right.
If you can do that, you're that just opens everything up in the back seven. If you can rush the passer without blitzing. So they're just two model organizations that have done just the marvelous jobs.
Yeah, and it's remarkable. You talk about Kansas City, like rounds, you know, 4 through 7, and the guys they pick up. They had 22 available players on defense for the Cincinnati game. 8 of the 22 were rookies, Ernie, to, again, go to your point.
They've both picked up players here and there, particularly Philadelphia, but right. That's your lifeblood. Don't give those choices away, because I've been in the draft room where maybe I traded a fourth or a third, and it doesn't seem like much when you make a deal for a player, a live player, who's coming in to contribute. But on draft day, when you're sitting there on the board, and you know you love everybody that's left, and you you've scouted all these people, and our scouts have certain players they really like, and now all of a sudden you have a hole in your draft, and there's somebody there you really like, and you can't pick them. And that's why you just have to constantly preserve your draft choices and scout heavily and make those choices count. That second and third day drafting is so crucial to building a championship team.
Right. So I'll do a devil's advocate moment here. And that's Joe Paterno's style. When Joe would talk to the staff and somebody wanted to do something, he would deliberately counter the point because he wanted to see what their conviction was about it. Did you try to find out as often as you could the conviction a scout had about a player?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, scouts go out, and they're area scouts, and then you have cross-checkers. But right. They go out and can grade the players they've seen. Now, those players, you know, they're going to rate their players, and you're going to put your board together by position, not regardless of position. That's a different board, but by
right.
position on their grades. Okay, so if you have a scout and you respect him, and he's got a guard or an inside linebacker, and they're important, but if he has them rated as the best player he's seen, you have to be careful because you're the team builder. They aren't. They haven't seen everybody. And I learned a long, long time ago that you've got that. Look, you can't have an all-pro team. You've got to have your best players at the right positions. And I've learned that back in the mid-70s when we played the Patriots. Steve, they had 7 players in the on their team, the Patriots. They were the best players in the league at their position. I mean, Sam Hunt, John Hanna, I could name them all. And but we had Burke Jones, we had Roger Carr, we had Lydell Mitchell, and we had the sack pack with 160 sacks in 3 years. They didn't. They had a blitz, and they played the 34th defense, and we beat them all 3 years for the divisional title. And what I learned there was you better have your best players at the key positions. So although the scout may have the guard is the best player at his position, if I've got a defensive end like O.C. Uniminior or Tuck that are on the board, I'm taking the defensive end. So that's the difference between the guy who's wearing the hat and the guy who's not wearing the hat. I mean, I respected their ratings, but when it comes to deep building, it's you and the head coach that have to make that decision.
Yeah, and those Colt teams that you're talking about that had a great run, you know, you may not have had the best 7 players, but you had at the positions that you needed them, you had the better players. And
New
England played the 3-4.
I could tell you that the back seven, I don't think could have played. I don't think we had a back seven that could have started on their defense.
Right.
But we had the sack pack. And, you know, they 160 sacks in 3 years. You know,
that's
they
amazing.
Dominated the division. But, no, there's no question. But to your point about Paterno, he was great at Challenge Union, no matter what job you had. I mean, I was the assistant PR director, and I had to put the Orange Bowl brochure together for the 69 team. And, you know, he gave me 30 minutes, 45 minutes to get quotes on every player.
Yep.
And I sat in there, and I started in alphabetical order. Aaron Hold, I'm sorry. And about the third player, he said, wait a minute. You're not prepared. He said, you know, I'm not going to do this for you. Ask me the questions that are going to extract the quotes. Yeah. Come back in about 3 hours when you're prepared. So, you know, I left there with my tail between my legs, but I learned a lesson. Yeah. But that's what he would do. He would challenge you. But it only did – all that do it was make you better. And he would
right.
he would do the same with his coaches. I mean, I heard
yep. –
you know, he would yell at assistant coach. You know, we'd have a scrimmage on a Saturday. He'd say, you know, coach during the week. Let him play on Saturdays. And, mm-hmm. I mean, he always challenged his staff. So that was the leadership in him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Believe me, I've talked to enough guys or have seen it myself where he'll challenge them – But he may agree with them, but he wants to make sure that they've got the conviction behind it. And that's what he was looking for. What is your conviction behind what you're telling me? Is there a difference when you're sitting in that chair as a season goes because you're in contention versus a team that is not in contention? And, of course, I'm thinking about how Philadelphia added as the season went along when they had needs.
Yes. Well, you mean if you're making a run
yeah.
at it?
Yeah, you're making a run at it.
If you have to be careful, and this is more of an off-season concept, you have to be careful of the we're one player away concept. You
yes.
can get into trouble with that, especially if you're yep. going to be giving away a high pick. But if you can get somebody, especially if you happen to have maybe an extra fifth or an extra fourth or sixth, I mean, if you can get somebody like Brown when they picked him up, that
right.
That can make a big difference, you better go get them. And you know, that might be the difference in your team. Now, it doesn't happen often in football as much as it does in baseball. You pick up an RBI guy and he comes in and has a great September or August, September. But because they're not usually available in football. But when you can do that, yeah, if you have that opportunity, jump on it. And that's what Howie's done. He's just done a remarkable job. I mean, between Super Bowls, he, you know, in the media's eyes, he was on the hot seat. They were all over
that's
him.
That's right.
And he just plunged on and kept doing his work. And I'm really proud of him. He's a good friend, and I couldn't be happier for him.
It's interesting because we are in an era of fantasy football, as you well know. Now, you sit in that chair, and you know how hard this job is. How, you know, I always tell young people in my class, be curious, not critical. Okay? Be curious, not critical.
Right.
I feel like fantasy football, everybody thinks they can do that job, Ernie. Oh, look, I built my fantasy team. I can build the Eagles.
Yeah, I know they can't get fired. that's the first thing. but there are a couple of elements to that job which make it harder, I think, than baseball. Baseball's become a general manager's sport. Well, always was, because there was so much more training. But now at this point, where they're giving scripts to how the manager uses the pitchers, there's no job that has more pressure in sports with less control than a general manager. You can't go down to the coach's booth. I mean, I guess you can, but I never did. Go down to the coach's booth and tell them, will you change your coverage? I mean, the coaches will throw you out of there. I mean, they're under such intense pressure play-by-play. Can you imagine going to the Paterno's booth and telling him what to do if you were the AD? I mean, and the thing is that you sit there and suffer. And, look, things are going to happen that you don't agree with, and there's not a thing you can do about it. It's totally different because there are certain – look, you're going to make mistakes, and I mean this in a baseball vernacular. There are no 400 hitters in our jobs. I mean, by that, I don't mean you got to be better than 40%, but I mean 400 hitters. Ted Williams hitting 406.
Right.
But you're going to have to take risks. You're going to have to gamble, and you're going to make mistakes. You cannot make a mistake high in the first round on a quarterback. If you do that, it's setting you back 3 to 5 years because, look, you can go from – Marino was an exception, but you can go to Aikman, 1-13, Elway, who they had a bench twice during his rookie year. I mean, yep. Right down the list that of all the great quarterbacks, Plunkett that were picked high, that Burt Jones, who struggled for 2 years, we had to bench him. So you have to stay with them. You can't quit on them. So that's 2 years now. If you've blown that pick, You've just wasted 2 years. Now you're going to give them another year or two. That's 4 years. And now you got to start all over again. That, those are the mistakes that cripple you, that is so difficult to recover from. But you're going to make mistakes down through the draft. And you're even going to make a mistake in the first round that you can recover from. But the quarterback, that's going to be a damaging error.
Right, yeah, because the last time you already you talked about draft day with Eli Manning and so forth, that which was a fascinating story. So, in other words, you're saying that you never went down and you told Ted Marchibrodo or Tom Coughlin what the lineup should be that day?
No, I never did, but I have to admit one thing, though.
Yeah.
We were playing the Jets, and it was Frank Cush, it wasn't Ted Marchibrodo, who I inherited. And they had an Olympic gold medalist named Johnny Lamb Jones.
I remember. He's out of Texas.
Yeah, right. Now, he didn't have a great NFL career. But we were a little crippled in the secondary, and we had a slow safety, had to play corner that day. And I looked out on the field, and Todd was their quarterback. And we had this slow safety playing man defense on Johnny Lamb Jones. Now, if I'm throwing a ball, it's a touchdown, okay? So we got away. I thought Richard Todd was going to snap his neck because when he noticed it, his neck snapped, and he couldn't wait to get the snap and throw it, but he overthrew Lamb Jones.
Right.
I ran down to the booth, and these were the assistants. These weren't the head coaches. I said, can we put at least two people on that Olympic gold medalist down there? I said, because he's going to be 7 points in about 2 seconds. That's the only time I ever did it. And I got out of there. They never connected with him, you know, because he really didn't catch the ball that well. But nobody was going to cover him, let alone the guy we had on him. I won't mention his name. But there was no way in the world he was going to cover Johnny Lamb Jones. That's the only time I walked down there. I never went down there any other time. I certainly wasn't going to ever do it with Tom Coughlin. I can tell you that.
No. No. Ernie, I just love just talking with you. So thanks so much for doing this.
Anytime, Steve.
These aren't interviews, they're just talks. I appreciate it so much.
I love Penn State, you know that. I went to Wake Forest, but that time I spent up there, I had lunch with Louise and Louise Tarman and Supertrail this past summer, and I said, you know, it's amazing. I wasn't there a very long time, but it connected me for life, and I live and die with them every week. Of course, I'm a native Pennsylvanian, but I love Penn State, so I'd do anything for the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, we appreciate you so much. And, of course, I know that Barry Jones was with you for the time period of time you were here, if I remember.
Yes, well, he was my intern when I was at Penn State, and then I took him to Baltimore. He's a wonderful guy. God, he
sure is.
Yeah.
Ernie, thanks so much. Appreciate your time today. Thanks,
Anytime.
My friend.
Okay.
You bet. Ernie Accorsi. All right. Now, was there enough praise in there for the Eagles for you? I just want to make sure we're praising them enough because this is kind of a touchy week for you.
No, that was good. In fact, I didn't even know that he was friends with Howie Roseman.
Oh, yeah.
Ernie.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know. Hey, it's interesting that you're not gonna, obviously, as time goes, maybe there's a little separation somewhere. But you do have a linkage, Matt, with a circle of people who do what you do or what you did. Because they're the only ones that really know what it was like to sit in that chair. You know, the Teddy Roosevelt man in the arena, which turned out to be a series or a podcast or whatever Tom Brady had, Man in the Arena. And there's only so many people that sit in that chair that understand what you have to deal with along the way. And it's sports. And because it's sports, you have a long list of people that think that they can do all the jobs. I could coach the Eagles. Right? I could be the general manager of the Eagles. I could do Merrill Reese's job. I mean, he just sits there and calls plays. I could do that. Yeah. I have 3 one-word answers for each of those. No, no, and no. Takes something to do all those jobs. Oh, and by the way, if anybody out there thinks they can do Matt Catrillo's job, once again, no. None of us can do Matt Catrillo's job.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Now, Friday nights in the Shikalimi booth? Let's talk for a moment. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by good friends at Purdy Insurance.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit-a!
When car repairs get difficult...
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
By the way, Caesar's Sportsbook, which, by the way, Matt found a copy on the suit's desk. 22-page Super Bowl betting menu of prop bets. 22 pages. 2,000 different prop bets.
This is my surprise face.
Unreal.
By the way, did you see somebody bet $1 million on the Eagles?
Well, I hope Jeffrey Lurie wins.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, we've kind of held out to the end. But sometimes you want to save the best for last. We're moments away from the Matt Catrillo rant of the day. A weekend of pent-up frustration about to be released. But I first must tell you that today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, motorcycle, boat, whatever it may be, bundles. They'll do everything they can to save you money. Customer comes first. And make sure you're fully insured. And you're also dealing with just great people. Just great people to deal with because it's just good people. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com, the best in the business. Speaking of the best in the business, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Let's go over now to the Bitterness Cafe and join with the owner and general manager, proprietor, Matt Catrillo.
Maybe that should be my NIL deal coming up. I don't know. Well,
Bitterness Cafe.
Speaking of which, I don't know if yes, actually, both. Because I have had enough of one Jim Boeheim. Okay.
I've talked to Jim. He speaks highly of you.
That's shocking because, you know, I'm a member of the media that would actually ask him questions about his team who stinks this year. and doesn't want to answer him and snickers back and forth at him. And then he just goes out and just randomly accuses three ACC teams, including Pitt, about buying their teams. And Pitt great, Rutgers assistant Brandon Knight said this quote, and I firmly agree with it. Sounds like sour grapes. Next time, ask Jim Boeheim how many teams he bought before NIL was legal. Don't throw stones in glass house. Remember, you've been coaching a lot of years, and a lot of us know who got paid. Bingo. Exactly. Enough. Shut your mouth, Jim Boeheim. Go on your own side of the lawn or retire. Like, enough is enough. Answer the questions about your team that stinks this year and actually respect the media and those poor student reporters who are just trying to do their job and asking you for answers about stuff that's been happening with your team consistently this year. And you know what? That's the way it is now with NIL. Deal with it. Find a way to adjust or get out. Go back to your glory days in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s with Carmelo Anthony and stuff and get out. I've had it with Boeheim and his passive-aggressive antics. Like, enough's enough already.
Is there an incident that made you upset?
Well, when the reporter...
I'm just kidding. What happened was a Syracuse player did not play in a game. So they said he would have something to say about it after the game. He did an opening statement, never mentioned the player. So one of the student reporters, and you're not a student reporter. You're a reporter at that point. It doesn't matter what outlet you're working for or representing. Asked about said missing player. There's nothing wrong with asking about why the guy, why the guy wasn't there. And he took exception to it. And... like, guess what? Guy's not there. Now, you can answer in any way you want, but, it's not a, quote, bad question. Okay? I guess he made a face or something like that, and Boeheim didn't like that.
Yeah, and then he walked out.
So what's your other one? I know it was a weekend, so like there's a lot of pent-up frustration for you.
Well, this kind of goes to the after watching the Sixers last night, because I haven't had a chance to watch a whole lot of regular season NBA hoops this year because of my
and based on the ratings, you're not alone.
There you go. But I'm going to tell you why those ratings are low, and we've talked about this before. With load management, but I just think it's just an overall epidemic that nobody cares. Even the players do not care during the regular season. The Sixers have now blown two straight 21-point leads and have lost to teams that they know they are better than. They blew one to Orlando sometime late last week, and then they blew one to the Knicks last night in MSG. I just am tired of the NBA regular season. I'm growing very wary of it, where it's just nobody really cares. Teams aren't playing the way they're supposed to for 48 minutes consistently until you get to the playoffs. And even so, sometimes you have to get past the first round before you see teams actually play the way they're supposed to play. I'm just getting tired of it. I've decided that I'm not going to make it as much of a priority to watch the Sixers, at least in the regular season, because I don't know what kind of effort I'm going to get. Is it worth my time watching until the postseason? I'll keep dibs on what's going on with the team, but am I going to go away and necessarily watch a regular season game anymore? I don't know, to be honest with you.
Well, everyone knows how I feel about the load management thing. I think that's... it doesn't mean that it's not difficult to go out and play game after game after game, but guess what? That's your profession. Your profession is to show up, and they sell tickets around your ability to show up and play. Right? And it's gotten to the point where and Steve Kerr in Cleveland. It was a father and a son that went to the game in Cleveland, and they bought it specifically because they wanted to see Golden State. They bought the ticket specifically because they wanted to see Stephen Curry. And they decided on a load management night to hold him out. These two people traveled, bought the tickets. They're looking around like, well, what do we do this for? Well, you know what? That's not your job, is not to sit out. Your job is to play. Now, if you physically can't play because you are injured, or it turns out that, you know, you're hurt, and because of being hurt, you have to miss that night, yeah. But to rest? I mean, life is different now than it was 10, 20, 30 years ago in professional sports. Everybody has their own nutritionist now. Everybody has physical therapy available to them. Everybody has cold tubs available to them. Everyone has hot tubs available to them. Everyone has whether you hire it personally or whether it's provided by the team, but massage therapy is now available to you, which you didn't have years ago. And please, no Deshaun Watson jokes, okay? I meant that in a serious vein, because they all have this now. All of this. They have more advantages to do this job than ever before, and yet you have guys sitting out games. Your job is not to sit out the game. Your job is to play the game. Because guess what? There are fans going to see you play and bought tickets to see you play. You have an obligation. That's your job. That is your job. You got people all over the place. You don't think that the steel worker doesn't need an extra day off here and there? Steel workers out there busting their tail every day. You don't think the woman that's raising her children, drops her kids off at the bus, has to pick them up later at daycare, has to work in the middle of the day, oh, and by the way, come home and take care of dinner? You don't think that person needs a day off? You don't think that person needs load management? There are a lot of people out there that could use load management. Basketball players are not among them. What kind of load management is there in the NHL? Where's the load management in the NFL, which is an exponentially more physical league than the NBA is? And you get to the final 6 weeks of the season, you're beat up. Yeah, that's why it's always not easy to have that week, you know, that extra week between the NFC and AFC championship games and the Super Bowl. But I think now I've become convinced over time that guess what? You get a better Super Bowl because of it now, because at least that extra week, everybody, that soreness. I mean, the Eagles may have had a week off before they played. Same thing with Kansas City. They both, as the number one seeds, got the week off. But they've now played back-to-back games. And guess what? Playing back-to-back games, you're back to being beat up again. Right? The NBA, well, I mean, it's like they're afraid of the players. What are you afraid of? Write the lineup. Go play. Here you go. Go play. These guys are not playing. They're not taking trains. Okay. Cold tub did not exist back in the day. Well, we talked about Kareem, but like Bird, Magic, Kareem, they didn't have cold tubs. Nobody really knew about cold tub therapy. Right? Hot tubs, yeah. They knew about hot tubs. Right? Therapists, okay, massage, everything that goes with it, right? How you practice. Practice, I mean, you know, load management with practice is just as important as load management with games. I mean, you are, you know, you want to be known as an entertainment industry. Okay, so you want to be known as an entertainment industry. Okay, what's the load management for Bonnie Raitt? What's the load management for Carrie Underwood, for example? She's going to be here on Friday night, as a matter of fact. What's their load management? I realize they put together their own schedule. They decide when to tour, when not to tour. I understand that. But when they commit to do, I don't know, pick 40 shows, they do, guess what? 40 shows. Because guess what? They're all expecting. Yeah. Or say, for example, take a band. Let's just take, say the Rolling Stones wanted to tour. Yeah. What? Mick's going to take a couple shows off? Wrong. I don't think so. People look around saying, oh, over here, I paid to see Mick Jagger out there tonight. Okay. Mick needs load management. He's not going to play State College. What? It's not what I paid for. Same thing in pro sports. It's not what they paid for. They did not pay, okay? This, you know, they paid to see Stephen Curry play. Curry should be playing. They paid to see, you know, LeBron didn't play what the Brooklyn game. Ankle injury. It looked pretty healthy at the end of the Celtics game. I couldn't tell he had an ankle injury, could you? And look, if somebody's hurt, they're hurt. If they're injured, they definitely can't play. But you know, you want to be known as entertainers. You want to walk a red carpet at the ESPYs. You want to, you know, walk a red carpet when it comes to the NBA award show at the end of the year. I mean, all this stuff. You want to do all that and be treated like celebrities and stars. Well, guess what? A celebrity and stars, that means you have to punch in and punch out and actually perform. And you have to do it, okay, on the league's schedule and your team's schedule, not on your personal schedule. Now, people in the NBA thoroughly, completely disagree with me. But I'm sorry. It does get to a point where I'm looking around at this stuff, and I've talked about it before. Again, you're hurt. I got it. It's a long season. But you have physical advantages. Physical advantages that they didn't have in the NBA 10, 20 years ago. Methods of recovery, with an emphasis on recovery, that you didn't have in the NBA or pro sports 10 years ago, let alone 20 or 30. There's so many elements they can take advantage of that gets them back quickly. The ability to travel. Hey, guess what? These guys aren't taking a wagon train to the game. And travel can wear on you. I travel a few miles during the course of the year, and I don't do what they do. Ooh, I just got a text from Jim Boeheim. Ooh, he heard the show. Wow. Something about referring you to his law firm? What does that mean?
Oh, my almighty!
I'm just asking for a friend. I don't know.
Bring it.
Tomorrow's guest host will be... Just remember, Matt, in the big leagues, they play hardball. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Over here at the Bitterness Cafe, I'd like a cup of gruel, please.
I think that's where I'll officially put my dope list in my hall of stinkage, too.
What, up on the wall?
Yeah.
Like, some people put, like, great moments up there.
That's where that goes as soon as you walk in. And guess what? Jim Boeheim's name is officially on both those lists. I forgot to mention that.
Oh, okay. That's wonderful. Is it right next to the 297 that somebody bowled?
Yeah, somewhere near there.
So what is on the menu at the Bitterness Cafe? besides a cup of gruel. I like a bowl of gruel, please. Ah, it's going to be a long week for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, waiting for your beloved team to play. But don't worry, Sealands Grove's got another game.
They do, actually. Our final regular season game's tomorrow night at Bloomsburg. And then I got Bucknell on Wednesday.
There you go.
And then...
We need to keep you busy instead of, you know, pacing back and forth.
Yes, this will help. But those are my only games this week because Saturday I've got Lisa's cousin's wedding in the Ebensburg area.
Oh, I forgot about that, yeah.
But we have all of our plans worked out. We're going to go to that on Saturday. Leave after, you know, stay at her parents' house in Indiana, PA, that night, and then come back and leave after lunch. We'll be home by 4. My parents are going to come at 5 with pizza and other goodies that they're going to bring, and then Dad and I are going to watch the game together, and we'll be fine.
And your two sons, of course.
Yes. Before they head to bed, and Lisa said, I'll take care of them, and you watch the game downstairs.
Dressed in Eagles garb.
Oh, you bet. In fact, my dad just hooked me up with the conference championship tee.
That's terrific.
Yes. So we'll be wearing that, but I have my tradition of wearing my game jersey. And I'm in the process of getting my Super Bowl 57 patch on my Jalen Hurts jersey. So I'm hoping to have that in time. So we got everything worked out. We're ready. Sunday's just got to get here.
You're not going to order out food from the Bitterness Cafe?
As of now, I'm not planning on it. How about that?
Man, I figured you'd support your own business. All this pent-up frustration. I actually have a student in my class that's been wearing Eagles garb every Monday.
That's right.
He came in today. He didn't have it.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.